This is Comics Palooza, the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chance, and right beside me is...
your other host, Cameron. It's a comics and nerd culture podcast, also.
We are in the same place.
And it's throwing off the energy.
It's throwing off the energy. Tell. This one will probably be a bit of a rough cut. We're in my kitchen, which has lots of places for sound to bounce.
Probably fine.
That's probably fine.
You know, we here at Comics Palooza are nothing if not sticklers for the highest audio fidelity. So I think we all know that your other host Cameron is going to take a really long time meticulously editing all the sound and making the levels oh so right.
Yeah, my air conditioner in the background. You're gonna find that
gonna be there.
You're going to clip it all out.
Mm-hmm.
It's Oklahoma. It's 100 degrees, and the air conditioner's staying on. Sorry, people.
I think in an early episode of Boy Meets World, probably in our early ones, we would turn the air off.
We would.
Fools.
Well, that was in my little bitty cottage.
But at this point, you know, my comfort trumps your listening experience. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Yes. Well, and this is like... background,
yeah, it's in a house. Just, you know, ASMR videos are like a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Just imagine we're opening some Pokemon cards and tapping our fingernails on them or something.
Yeah. Imagining is the only way we could afford to open Pokemon cards, let's be honest.
Heyo!
But hello, Cameron.
Hello.
You're right here.
I'm right here. I can look at you in the eyes. Wow. That's some eyes you've got there.
We just made eye contact. It was a great bit for an audio medium.
I'm especially excited that my internet's not going to cut out.
That's true. In fact, you're not even on my internet.
No. We're sans internet right now.
Wow.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Quick beverage review. I got the Crush Back to the 80s Electric Blue Raz. Apparently, this is a flavor that they haven't had since the 80s.
Wow.
Crush soda, and it's back. It's pretty tasty. It is a little more mild than I want something called Electric Blue Raz to be. It's kind of just like a hint of raspberry.
That's a bummer. You want it to be electric.
Yeah. It's like sweet, and then you're like, oh, there's the raspberry right there. But it's not bad. I mean, it's very drinkable.
Is this your first time having one?
No. I got him on Sunday. I had to buy a new refrigerator, so I had to buy something to put in it.
It's a beaut. That boy right there will hold your food and keep it cold.
It will. It will. So I got these, and so it took like a day and a half to get them cold because the refrigerator had to like get going, mm-hmm. all that.
I know.
Build
up steam, the opposite of that.
Yeah, build up cold steam. And so I've had like three today. And like I said, they're very drinkable.
That's good.
Very drinkable.
I'm drinking a Coke Zero. Darth Vader's on it. It tastes like a Coke Zero. Mm-hmm. You probably know what that tastes like.
Yeah.
If you don't, that's all right.
It's so interesting to me that the Zero brand came out to market non-sugar alternatives to men, and now it's kind of just replaced diet in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I still like Diet Dr. Pepper, but I like Zero Sugar Dr. Pepper more.
Yeah.
But in most places, they have Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
I might like Diet Coke more than Zero Sugar Zero Sugar Coke.
Really? I love Zero Sugar Coke. It tastes just like Coke to me.
Well, I thought I didn't like Diet Coke because as a kid I didn't because I was drinking the real stuff. Mm-hmm. But then a student on the last day of school gave me a Diet Coke. And I was like, I'm never going to drink this. But I went home and I put it in my fridge. And in a moment of desperation, I drank it. And I was like, this tastes really good.
Yeah. I haven't had Diet Coke in so long that I'm not sure. But.
Well, what can you do? I guess you could drink a Diet Coke.
Mm-hmm.
But we
have a bit of a fly problem because of how long the door was open when they were delivering the
refrigerator.
So I apologize if you hear any swatting or anything.
It's okay, because we usually have a fly problem in our house.
Oh, do you?
I don't know where they come from. The boys leaving the door open, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am pretty meticulous about telling, shutting the door for Waldo very quickly and telling Asher to keep the door closed. And even Nikki, like, when she goes out to get packages, she wants to leave the door open, and I'll, like, close it behind her. And they're like, why do you do that? And I'm like, because I hate flies. I love you all, and I hate flies.
Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to air condition the outside. He's just going full dad mode.
No, it's entirely for my own comfort, not for our budget. I hate flies.
Well, what can you do? But that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, I would suppose we could talk about other things.
Flies, refrigerators, mm-hmm. Coca-Cola Zero Sugar.
We've got a pretty big week this week. Mine is a little cut short because I grabbed two issues that I read last month.
whoops.
So Green Lantern 25 will not be featured because I grabbed 24 again. I'm not quite sure.
Is that a Zac Efron movie?
17 again.
24 again. It's the sequel.
It's the sequel.
It's like not quite as fun. You know, like that magical 17 years old, 24 years old. I don't know. I'd be 24 again.
Yeah. I was about to say. I mean.
That was pretty good. Pretty good time.
I'll do a song review real quick. I really enjoy Olivia Rodrigo's Bad Idea Right because it does a great job. I think it's total fiction. I don't think she has ever done this actual act. She's been famous her whole life. But it really does capture, like, a Hollywood sense of, like, your 20s. Like, not my 20s. I didn't do that.
I'm not familiar with the song, but no, I don't think you did.
But, I don't know, it's just, like, this idea of being 20 in a, like, in a big city where you're dating and having friends. I think it's just, it captures it greatly. So... Bad Idea, right? Olivia Rodrigo. Good song.
Come on the show.
Should be on 24 again is my point.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about Olivia Rodrigo either.
No, is he bought Green Lantern 24 again.
Yes, I bought Green Lantern 24 again and...
a mistake I've made before.
Yeah, this was my first time. I grabbed the first one on the thing.
Did you go on Wednesday when they were, like, out?
I went on Thursday. So maybe it was, like, on another level because that one was full or something. I'm not sure. Or maybe he just ran out of 25. But I'll have to go and see if I can get it. So my week is not as big as it was going to be, but still five books.
I've got eight because I tracked down an issue... of Uncanny 17.
Oh, okay.
So then I could read 18, which came out.
Perfect.
And I'm glad I did, because it kind of in some ways was the Calico issue.
Yes, Calico issue.
But different.
Can't wait to hear.
We'll get to that.
Can't wait to hear about that. Yeah, so I actually only have one book the next 2 weeks. Like, I have one book.
I have one book next week.
And one book the next week.
I think I might have a few more the week after. I haven't looked.
I was looking around on a League of Comic Geeks to mm-hmm. see, like, well, if I'm only getting one, I might as well, like, pick up something else.
There's really not a lot.
There's not a lot coming out, and, like, Marvel's got a lot of interesting stuff coming out, but it's, like, one-shot issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have two because I added one of those one-shots.
Did you do the Spider-Man versus the Sinister 16?
Uh-huh.
I thought about it, or Werewolf by Night.
Because I really enjoyed Captain America and Volstagg.
Oh, is it the same lot, writer?
I don't know if it's the same writer, but it's that same line.
Oh, is it?
Of those one shots.
I thought about it. I might thumb through them. But yeah, I've only got one book.
It's these 5 Wednesday months.
Oh, is that what it is?
Just because they have to spread it out.
Well, I only have one book 2 weeks after
Justice
that, too.
League Dark Tomorrow Special Number 1?
That's another one shot. I thought about grabbing it, but it's a one shot.
Could be fun.
Maybe I will just review Green Lantern 25 next week along with my one book. I'm very excited about my one book next week, but...
I'm assuming I know what it is, because I just saw it.
Well, it's The Return of Lucky Devils.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Because yeah. I was just thinking today, I was like, he hasn't talked about that in a while.
Yep. I was actually thinking that on one of my vacations or something, I missed it, but I didn't.
But nope, sometimes it just happens that way. Chance, I believe you're up first.
Okay. Well, My number one, my best book this week, kind of inevitable. It's kind of the return of the Legion of Superheroes to modern comics, but with an evil twist, is Superman number 28, The Legion of Darkseid Part 1, by Joshua Williamson with art by Dan Mora. And let me say, the art in this book is gorgeous. I mean, look at this page. Look at it.
Wow, that's lovely.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
We can do that so easy now.
We can. We don't have to, like, show the camera. I really like this, where he's, like, looking at the Legion ring. But this book is kind of setting up the new event that they
just... DCKO?
The DCKO. Have we talked about that on here? Did we talk about
it last
week?
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Okay. But yes, yeah, so this book is kind of setting up DCKO, it seems. And it's odd that this book is coming out 2 months later, because this picks up almost immediately where the Summer of Superman special a couple months ago picked up or ended. In that one, Superman had to fight Validus, but Validus seemed to be running from something, and this picks up with him going and getting the Legion flight ring and being like, the Legion are my friends. If something has scared a monster like Validus this much, it must be...
pretty bad.
It must be pretty bad. So I need to go check on my friends. So he has a talk with Ma. He goes He grabs the Legion ring. They do a fun thing. It's a callback to a Silver Age way that Superboy would go to the future. There's an L carved into a tree that activates with his Legion ring. But nothing happens. But someone still says, hello, Kal-El. And it is Saturn Girl. These costumes are weird. I'll let you take a look. It's like the Legion costume covered in rocks with an Omega symbol on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what else to say but covered in rocks. It's like a cobblestone texture.
Yeah, that seems like about right. I mean, that's that sort of dark side look, I guess.
Yeah, and she is saying, like, you really do know who I am, don't you? And he's like, yeah, of course. And she doesn't seem to know him. And it turns out that this version of the Legion is inspired by Darkseid the way that our Legion is inspired by Superman. So, like, Superman is this generational good who... I mean, kind of the whole point of the Legion and the way why the Legion works so well with Superman, and every time taking, like, Superman's history out of the Legion doesn't work, is that the Legion is kind of proof that Superman's actions matter. And they kind of talk about that in this book a little bit. But they're kind of, like, proof that his actions matter, that his good deeds will reverberate into eternity. All these people who know him and love him and... 1,000 years in the future, people are going to take up costumes and try to be like him for the greater good. Saturn Girl, evil Saturn Girl, says, like, they are basically that, but it was Darkseid's evil instead of Superman's good that inspired them. I don't know if they are replacing the mainline Legion or if they are, they are in the Absolute Universe Legion. I'm not sure how that works, but they are fully...
I'm trying to think to the All-In special, because it kind of told the story from both ends.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, both ends ended with the Legion, but it's like, I think that was in the Absolute Universe, is where that Dark Legion was.
Mm-hmm. Is that where Time Trapper was revealed as well?
I don't remember. Booster Gold got hurled into an alternate dimension.
Yeah.
That's all I remember.
Assumedly the Absolute Universe, but we'll get there later. Then Saturn Girl shows Superman some terrible things. Cosmic Boy crushing the Watchtower and killing everyone inside.
No.
Lightning Lad frying Ma Kent. right there.
Pretty rude of him.
But Superman figures out it's a vision. He's always had good mental resistances. So he kind of banishes it, but Saturn Girl won't let him out. So they walk through the history. She talks about how, like, Superman had a crush on her when she was good Saturn Girl and they knew each other as kids. But she's not going to let her... She's not going to let him out of this until she understands what makes him tick. But then, this Doomsday Time Trapper. Do you know anything about Time Trapper?
Not a thing.
You read Legion of Three Worlds, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Superboy Prime was Time Trapper in that.
Oh.
Time Trapper is one of the classic Legion villains. But he was never had an identity revealed. I know a lot of Legion lore. I'm going to boil it down so we don't go too deep into it. He never really had his identity revealed, and then in Legion of Three Worlds, it was revealed that he was Superboy Prime, trying, and he always hated the Legion because they were inspired by Superman and not him. Superboy Prime is the ultimate hater.
Mm-hmm.
That makes
Grade
sense.
Grade A hater.
But it seems at some point, and I am not sure what point that is, that some kind of Doomsday has become the Time Trapper. I'm gonna have to look into exactly how this all happened.
I can look on my computer, but my internet's not on.
Yes, yes. And I feel like that takes a little bit more reading.
Is Doomsday the Time Trapper? Google AI. It's not gonna tell me the truth either way, so.
It's probably not. I don't really know what's up with Doomsday Time Trapper. I'm interested in it. The idea of Doomsday being the Time Trapper and him kind of being smart is interesting. Maybe he's just Time Trapper in, like, the Legion's world. That could make sense. But I have no idea. So he grabs Clark and takes him away. But Clark wants to go check on his mom. Oh, I guess first, Doomsday, like, punishes Saturn Girl for going there without his permission. But Doomsday kind of takes Clark into the time stream, and he's like, I gotta go check on my mom, just to make sure that was just a vision. And Doomsday's like, I don't care about your mom. Worst things will happen to everybody if Doomsday makes it to Earth. You'll be lucky if your mom died. And he said he created a pocket universe where he put somebody to save the future. And it's this, like, Smallville that's all decked out in, like, Superboy stuff. And it is, probably inevitably, Superboy Prime. that is being held here. And he says, hey, Clark, you ready to go kill some nerds? And then he addresses the readers because he is from a world where...
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who don't know, he is from a world where Superman only exists in comics. And DC Comics writes Superman comics. So he is aware that he is in a comic book. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm back again, dear reader. You better be here next month to watch me save Superman and the Legion of Superheroes. I smell an event coming. And that's the end of the book.
Superboy Prime.
Yeah, it's just real good. I think it's going to be a good follow-up to kind of Legion of Three Worlds years later. There's a few curiosities of, like, this Time Trapper Doomsday. But, you know, I don't hate the idea of a Legion inspired by Darkseid. I wish, if we're going to do a Legion inspired by Darkseid, that we still had the Legion inspired by Superman.
So they could, you know, square off a bit.
Yeah, square off a bit. And that may be where this is going. If this went to a, like, October, like, Legion release, I would be thrilled to bits. But I love the Legion. They're my favorite superhero team. This take is... it's fine. I'm here for it. I want to know what it's going to be like. Yeah, it's just a great book, and the art really helps sell it. It's gorgeous, the whole book. Dan Mora is apparently pretty amazing. So, Superman number 28.
Nice. All right, well, it's my turn.
It is.
And I had a bit of a surprise. There was a book going into the week that I was like, I want this to be my best book. It was not. But I'm going to talk about it later. But this one kind of surprised me, because the last few issues I feel like haven't been my favorite. Mm-hmm. But Halo and Hornsby, or Hornsby and Halo number 8.
I love to see it as a best book.
You do love to see it. Peter J. Tomasi and Peter Snabjerg.
Yeah.
Might as well be. And I think, just to catch everybody up on where what's happened, we all know Zachary Halo, girl Hornsby, whose name I can't remember. What is her name? I don't know.
I'm like 4 issues behind at this point.
I do not remember her name. It's not that important.
Yeah.
Rose.
Rose Hornsby.
Rose Hornsby. You know, he's an angel. She's a devil. To seal an ancient pact for peace between heaven and hell, they were sent to Earth and, you know, given to families with opposite natures of their celestial heritage. They find out about this, that there's an angel that's trying to get them to, like, use their powers. It's a bit unclear. They're trying to undo the whole thing. That's clear. I don't know what...
Yeah, they want to go back to...
I don't know how they're planning to achieve that, per se. But it's just been a lot of the last issues of, like, well, I don't want to. Well, let me tell you more. Well, I still don't want to.
The Celestial Guardian guy.
Yes, the Adjudicator, who was, like, turned out he's been watching over them all this time. And in the last issue, the angel teamed up with a devil and another monster that's, like, basically created a black hole that sucked the Adjudicator into it. So he's, like, trapped in a crystal on the moon.
Of course he is.
So he's there, and he's not in this issue.
You're actually kind of making me want to read it, because I love trapping Adjudicators and crystals on the moon.
It's my favorite activity. There he is.
Yeah.
Trapped in a crystal on the moon. I mean, what else can it be? But what that means is, this issue is without all of that, for the most part. And I think that it's what really makes it sing. It's almost just like this is a sitcom where we have a kid who's an angel and a kid who's a devil going to school.
Yeah.
And so it's very fun because they are doing a play, a school play, and they're doing Paradise Lost.
Of course they are.
And so they get their parts, and Rose, the devil, is going to be an angel, and then Zach, the angel, is going to play the devil.
Of course.
Paradise Lost. And so that's like the most of the book is that happening. So they like get their parts. Two of their friends are Adam and Eve. So they're like, can we switch? Zach asks the teachers, like, I don't have a problem if Rose doesn't have a problem. And she's like, no, I think we're going to stick with our parts. But I just think the art's very fun and very expressive. So they like go over to Zach's funeral home house to practice their lines. We get some more moments with Zach's family, who's terrible. They're just like the worst people. They're like showing the kids like what a casket looks like, and like this is top of the line, and like going over all this stuff. We know Rose knows that they like are grave robbers and like steal people's things, so she's like kind of being snarky about it. But they're practicing their lines, just like a moment kind of with friends hanging out. It's really nice. The cat's watching mischievously.
Do we know what the cat's deal is?
We don't know what the cat's deal is, but it's got to be something.
Yeah, the dog too, right?
The dog too. And then we see that Zach has found, like in the very first issue, he like holds Rose's notebook out the window and all the papers fly out, but he found the papers and like taped them up and is keeping them in his closet. Like
he's in love with her?
It's hard to know. Or he just likes the drawings. She's like, you can keep them. And then we just get the night of the play. And it's just really fun. The theater teacher's like, everybody break a leg. And they're like, that's not going to help anything. Why would we want to break a leg? And she's like, it means good luck. It's like, theater is so dumb.
It's come to mean just good luck. But it used to mean... Back in the day, you said it when people went on auditions, not actual performances, because you wanted them to get cast.
Oh.
I don't know if that's real, but
someone
told me that's what it meant.
It sounds fun. But then we just get the play. I've not read Paradise Lost. I'm pretty sure that this isn't the actual, like, language of
Milton.
Like, well, it does look delicious. Maybe just one bite for each of us. It is good. Probably not. You dare not listen to the word. Prepare to be smited. Maybe he was a bit more elevated in this language. I don't want to be smited.
Don't smite me. Says. I don't want to be smited.
So we just have, like, beautiful art. Of just...
In a play.
The play's happening. We see, like, some behind-the-scenes stuff, like some the smoke machines messing up, and it's just, like, funny. It doesn't serve any, like, the devil's secretly making the smoke machine mess up. No, it's just, like, it's middle school kids putting on a play, and something goes wrong a little bit. But it's great. And, like, there's this funny moment where they're bowing at the end, and, like, her parents are cheering. His mom is taking a selfie in front of the crowd. But then we see at the back where there is the angel who's been up to no good this whole time and the devil that they're working with, like, in the back watching. And then they turn into the regular people and then they disappear. And they're like, did you see that? Did you see that? And then they're just, like, celebrating that the play's over. They're like, yeah, I think we found a good balance of, like, who we are. Like, we can really work together. In the car, they, like, trade their costume pieces, so he, like,
horns and halos.
Yeah, they, like, trade the horns and the halos that they have. And then we just get this little snippet at the end where the devil and the angel are talking, and they're like, what did you do with the monster that trapped the adjudicator? And he's like, oh, I put it somewhere where no one's gonna find it. Like, we don't have to worry. Like, relax, it's safe, it's out of the way. And then we see it's, like, at the bottom of the ocean, and it's gonna... It's creating a giant whirlpool as it's, like, sucking this man in. It's like, so, you know, everything's out there for the adjudicator to escape. Because, of course, he's going to escape. So, you know. But I just thought, overall, it was just a really fun issue. It was just that slice of life, sitcom-y, kind of
like making the zombies.
Yeah. Like, that was fun. It wasn't like, you must accept who you are and receive my guidance. And they're like, I don't want to. And then for, like, four issues, it's like, I don't really want to do that. I'm weirded out by this whole thing. Mm. And just, like, kept hitting it over and over again. And this wasn't that, which was really nice.
It seems to me that Ghost Machine really is written, and I'm finding this more and more, that I think people are writing things more and more for collection, for the trade. Because I think Ghost Machine will translate well into trades. Like, I've been feeling that same way about Arcbound.
Is Arcbound Ghost Machine?
No, it's not. But I'm saying, like, I'm finding more and more people are writing things for trade. Because I think that part in the middle about accepting yourself probably won't be as bad.
Yeah, if you're just reading it back to back.
Where it's, like, all one time.
And then it's over.
But, yeah, so you have...
Yeah, well, this counts as one. I'm going to count X-Men as one. One, two, so, three, four, five, six.
You have six. So if you go first...
Okay.
In blurbs, we will... we should... Yeah, come out the other side.
All right. So... first up, I'll just do probably what was my next favorite. This might have been my absolute favorite, but I think it was partly because I read the two together. I felt like cheating. And I was just so refreshed by Hornsby and Halo. But Uncanny X-Men 17 and 18. 17 came out 2 weeks ago, and I missed it, and my shop was out, so I found it at another shop. And then 18 came out this week. This is kind of the start of a new arc. I mean, we're still kind of in the middle of things for the Louisiana X-Men. I think in our last issue I talked about, they're doing, like, Mutant Friendship Day.
Oh, yeah.
In New Orleans, and it's going to be, like, a sanctuary city almost for, like, mutants to live there, unpersecuted. But then there's, like, an indie horror movie comes out about this character named Mutina. And it really, a lot of the issue 17 is about, like, what's our response to this movie where it's, like, a mutant is being portrayed as this, like, brutal killer, like, and just like, how does that reflect on our community, you know? Mm-hmm. Like any sort of thing where it's like the killer was a trans person or the killer was a gay person. Mm-hmm. It's like, how does that affect how people think about the actual marginalized group?
It's like that, what's that movie like that basically brought the KKK back? Like the KKK was almost dead in the late 1800s, and then
like the Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation, yeah.
And it's pretty terrible.
Yeah, but it like almost single-handedly brought the KKK back.
Yeah, but it's, and just they've been like ever since. Entertainment movies, like they're not just like they're real. They affect things in real ways. And then the next issue is kind of dealing with some of the fallout where the outliers went and watched the movie. And then especially Calico is like deeply negatively affected by it. And it's like having these nightmares. They meet the girl who plays Mutina. Turns out she's like actually a mutant and like a real bad person. But she's like being haunted in her dreams by this person. But then it's also like the start of the mutant day. And it's just really nice to see the X-Men like come out in their costume, and everyone's like excited to see them. And
that is nice.
And they're kind of treated.
How's our girl Calico doing?
Still not super well.
Is she a horse or is she a girl?
It's unclear still. Oh, man. It's still not clear. But I'm really enjoying this series.
Yeah.
Gail Simone.
Oh, is it Gail? Has she been writing it the whole time?
She's been writing it the whole time.
Oh, it's got
it. I forget who's doing. I love Gail Simone. Yeah, Luciano Vecchio for both of these issues did the art.
I think, yeah, you definitely made the right choice in your X-Men book that you picked out. All the ones I picked out are done anyway.
That's true. I was reading X-Men also, but I just wasn't enjoying it as much.
Yeah. All right. My first book blurb, and quite frankly, almost my book of the week, is Captain Planet number 2. I don't know why, but I thought I missed issue 2.
Because it took so long? Because it was the same with Space Quest. Like, last week I talked about Space Quest. We talked, that was the same episode.
Okay, yeah.
That we both brought those books, and it's been, like, 2 months.
Okay. So, yeah. It has been a long time, then. Writer David Pipos? Sure, why not? And Eamon Casalos?
Yep.
Nailed
it.
Does the art. This issue makes a real good case for Captain Planet and the Planeteers in modern day.
Yeah, because we don't have like pollution or like corporations doing bad things to our planet, so you gotta come up with something fresh.
Well, but see, that's what they don't do. They lean just into those things you talked about.
But why, Chance? Those don't exist. Corporations are good and love us.
I don't know why, like, I guess because Captain Planet was such a basic storytelling structure in the old kids show, that when the evil billionaire, Lucian Plunder, says, I'll take care of it, and then the cops show up to arrest the people with the weird rings, because a billionaire said so, I was like, dang.
What? No, that can't be right.
I was like, dang, that's too real. And I think this book is a little clumsy in some of its metaphors. I don't think it's doing Guy very well yet, the lesbian marine biologist. It's just not using, it doesn't have any subtlety to it at all. But what that misses, what it does do is like really talks about protest culture and like how people view protests, and it talks about like radicalism and how it works on both sides, and I don't know, it's just real fun. I really enjoy where it's going. I really enjoy how it's using the modern setting to tell the story of Captain Planet, and I hope it keeps up this quality. Captain Planet and the Planeteers number 2, almost my book of the week.
Nice. Next up for me, The Great British Bump Off Kill or Be Quilt, number 4.
The finale.
Ultimately, I was a little bit let down. Overall, I think the storytelling is very fun. I think it's very funny. Just like visually very dynamic. like they're having a quilting competition, and I just like the way they're showing like design, select, cut, cut, more cut, and like it's just very fun. It's very comfortable leaning into like the cartooniness of it all. Mm-hmm. I just found the mystery incredibly underwhelming.
Yeah,
like there was no murder. It's called the Great British Bump Off.
Well, they bumped them off the show.
The boat bumped off because her barge, her river boat that she was borrowing from her uncle, bumped and grinded against the wall and was getting repaired, I suppose. But it was like a mystery, but it wasn't a satisfying mystery.
I getcha.
But the main character is really fun.
I was a little disappointed in my next book, too, though I still think it's great. The New History of the DC Universe, number 2. I loved the first one, if you'll remember.
I do.
I'm trying to find the creative team page. But I loved the first one, if you'll remember. And this one is equally impressive. Okay, it's by Mark Waid with art by Brad Walker and Michael Allred.
Oh, the Great British Bump Off, by the way. John Allison, Max Aaron, Sammy Boris.
Oh, nice.
Jim Campbell.
Nice. I think the reason that I was a little disappointed in this, and I was just a little disappointed, I thought there was a lot of really interesting stuff in here, was this is just the story of the Silver Age if it began with Batman and Superman. Like, there were a lot of questions about what was and wasn't canon before the Silver Age. Like, I really enjoyed reading through the history of the DCU and figuring out, like, what did happen, what didn't happen.
Like in the first issue?
In the first issue. This is just a pretty basic retelling of the Silver Age. You get Superman coming out. You talk about everybody's rogues. And it's probably my fault because I'm kind of a Silver Age guy. But it just wasn't all that interesting to me. There were some interesting things about it, for sure. Like, on the very first page when they're introducing all the first heroes, they have the Challengers of the Unknown and Adam Strange, which is, like, weird people to include with Green Lantern, Flash, Green Arrow, and Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
They add a couple people to the starting roster of the Teen Titans, which I thought was interesting. So there's a few things in here that I find a little odd. But mostly it's just a retelling of the Silver Age, which I am much more familiar with, and they take a very classic Silver Age take. Which on the one hand is real good to see that they're doing that. Like, it's real good to see, like, that they are taking such a classic Silver Age take, and that things have kind of been set back to the way they were pre-New 52. But it just wasn't as like, oh, yeah, as the first issue. Still good. And especially if you are new to DC and you want to know, like, if you want a good, easy primer for the history of DC, and especially because they reference everything they talk about with, like, issues and series you can read in the back of it, if you want to get into DC Comics, like, you saw that great Superman movie and you were just like, yeah, let me read some DC Comics.
This is a place to start?
I think this would be a great place to start.
Nice. So next is going to be my disappointment of the week.
Oh.
Which is a real bummer. I wanted this to be my best, which is Thundercats and Powerpuff Girls.
Number one.
Because they released a free comic book day issue that I thought was very charming.
Uh-huh.
And, like, very fun. And then this just picks up where that left off. But it's like, if you didn't read that, this doesn't explain anything. It's like the Powerpuff Girls, I don't even remember because it's been like 2 months, and they like get sucked into the Thundercats world, and the Thundercats are all missing, and the girls get weapons of their own. But oh, here, fun. Here, that it's just like picture. There, here we are, and it doesn't like.
Doesn't integrate
and reintroduce, because if like you missed that one thing and you're just picking this up because you're like, oh, this is fun, you're already behind. Mm-hmm. You're already at a loss. You don't know. And then I just felt like it felt not that fun overall. Like they're with Tigra, I think that's his name. Do you know?
Yeah, that's Tigra.
Tigra, who is apparently a joke Thundercat, and nobody thinks he can handle anything.
That wasn't in the show.
No, but you know, they're trying to be edgy.
He had the cool bomb whip.
But it's just like, it wasn't the fun I was expecting based on the preview that I read.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just a bit of a letdown. I don't think I'll continue to read it.
That's a bummer. I was actually kind of curious. I'm loving their take of Captain Planet so much. I was kind of thinking I might pick up some of their...
Space Quest is fun.
Yeah. I might still try to pick up some of their... They've got 2 Thundercat trades out, I think.
Uh-huh.
That pretty much catch you up to, like, where they are now. Okay. My penultimate book... It is an interesting start. I didn't love it. But I think it's an interesting start, and it could go places. It is issue 1 of 4 for Tex Arcanum. A paranormal, modern-day paranormal investigation kind of book taking place in Texarkana, of course. It is by Christopher Monfetti and Miguel Martos. What I think this book does really well is I read the whole thing in a southern drawl.
That's important.
And I think, like, it lent itself to that. And it did a really good job of, like, kind of explaining the premise. I'm interested. I don't know much about Texarkana. I've never been there. Have you ever been to...
Never have.
Okay. I know it's not too far from us. But there's a few questions that I have, but mostly... I think it does a really good job of, like, he's like, everyone came to America, and everyone brought their stories with them, and those stories killed the indigenous people who left their stories here, and now it's all here. And, like, then it opens up with him, and he's like, I had to do a trailer park exorcism. You know what that meant? A prized lasso of a one-legged bull rider soaked in, of all damn things... in a warm bottle of natty blessed by a shotgun-wielding casino priest.
Well, if that's not this neck of the woods, I don't know anything that is.
I thought that was a lot of fun. But we do this joke a few too many times in this book. She's like, it's all about money these days. You're either a victim or a vulture. And he goes, I'm more concerned with wendigos and Mesopotamian land curses. It's like, okay.
We get it.
We get it. You're like a cowboy, and like in his little thing here is like a thing of tools. He like has an enchanted crow's head that he runs under the water to see if it's cursed, and it was. He's got like all these tools for different like paranormal investigations. And
it's like if Harry Dresden was in Texarkana.
Yeah, kind of. He doesn't seem to be a wizard. He's more of a... And I could end up being wrong about this. He's more of like a problem solver. Maybe almost like an alchemist. He just like...
He just uses all the tools of the trade.
Yeah. I do not see him casting any spells. He just kind of has the tools and he uses them to like solve the problems. And I thought it was a good setup. I really like this idea that, like, the middle of America is, like, the ultimate blending pot. So, and things like to hide in the cracks between things. And, like, middle America is, like, the crack between the coastal cities.
Yeah, we live in the crack.
We do.
That's accurate.
So I really like the setup, but like three or four times we just have this thing of like, oh, Southern magic stuff. And I'm just like, I don't...
Once or twice is good.
Once or twice, or like if it mattered. Like the him doing the exorcism with the lasso like makes that matter. But like he's just talking to a lady while they're tracking down the source of this curse, and he just like she says something and he'll just like bring up like,
it's like, we get it. You're quirky. Manic pixie dream cowboy.
Yeah, kind of like that. It's like, okay, like I get it, but like move on. So, Tex Arcanum number one. I'm still planning on picking up issue two. I did like it. I just hope it drops that particular voice.
Nice. Next up for me is Runaways number two.
Ooh.
I think the main thing this book has served to do is make me want to read all the Runaways that I've missed.
Yes.
Just because, I mean, we meet here a team that's just, like, broken apart and, downtrodden. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of sucks for them. And it's like, how do we get here? Because there's just a lot of things like, this guy, she's time travel and she's here. But another version of her took this boy to the future and now he's returned and these characters are gone. And it's like, I don't remember who any of these people are. Apparently Alex, their former leader, is alive.
Oh, he's dead though.
But he's a different character. He's like a different hero. Apparently Doc Justice.
Oh.
I mean, it's comic books, man. You know he's not really dead.
Well, but his death was kind of...
It kind of mattered.
Yeah, it was so important.
It mattered that he died. So it's enjoyable, though. I'm liking it. I just want...
You want to know
I want to know more what's going on.
It looks like you have two.
I do have two more, so I'll do one.
Did you count incorrectly?
I must have counted wrong. So I'll just do this one right now. The Rockefellers, number eight. I love this cover.
Yeah, that's an amazing
cover. It's an incredible cover. This cover is by... let's see, Ramon Box.
I don't normally do covers, but I would do that cover.
This is the cover.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Especially when Fantastic Four just came out.
Yeah. So if you're wondering what we're talking about, the Rockefellers, no, I guess this is only issue seven, number seven, cover D by Ramon Box. It's very good. This issue, we're getting a bit, I mean, it's most all backstory about... back in the 25th century. And like this issue and at least the next issue are kind of like, why are they on the run?
Mm-hmm.
We know who the cyborg killer is. I don't know if you want me to tell you.
I want to pick it up in trade case.
You can pick it up. But we know who it is, and this is kind of telling their story.
Oh, okay.
Also of like how everything's kind of led to this point. But it's just, it's continues to be good. The art is great. I still think issue five is my favorite, which is where the dog is defending their home from intruders while they're away. That's like the best one. But this, I mean, this is just nice because we're getting, it's sort of the opposite of Hornsby and Halo, where I'm like, it's good that the story's not progressing and we're just getting this moment. And this is kind of like, the story's progressing. It's good.
Nice. I was having that feeling with Rockefellers too. I think it's because they kept teasing it.
Uh-huh.
I was like...
But it just never...
It was never happened. Materializing. I am going to end with Godzilla by Tim Seeley and Nicola... Not even going to try. No clue.
Yep. Nope.
Cameron was a teaching English as a second language teacher, and he's not even going
to
try.
I couldn't even tell you how to take a crack at that.
Nope. There's accent symbols...
Is this a number one?
Nicola. Yes. Godzilla number one. But I think IDW... Did IDW really rebrand recently?
Yeah.
Because this just says ID Comics Entertainment. But... Yeah, IDW Publishing. You have to read there. But this is kind of launching their... They're kind of trying to do like a kaiju verse. They're the people who do like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles universe and the. I'm pretty sure they do the Transformers too. So.
I believe several months ago I read Godzilla Heist number one, which I think was IDW also.
Mm-hmm. But this is like the launch of a new like Godzilla universe that's going to be like a kaiju verse.
Fine.
This isn't even tied to the Mothra book, which I thought it would be. The Mothra book. And I'm interested in that. It's just got this premise that when we used nukes, it woke up kaiju, and now there's kaiju everywhere. And there has been for 60 years, so like the walled city of New York is a thing we have. But it was destroyed. San Diego's the capital of the country now. And it's pretty good. I am hesitant to judge it on this one issue. It's fine. We get introduced to a whole team of characters. We don't really spend any time with them, but I'm assuming we will. We have kind of a main love interest woman, and a new hotshot hero.
Jet Jaguar.
Yes, Jet Jaguar only speaks in 90s theme songs, but I think they're Japanese 90s theme songs.
Because I know Show Me That Smile Again.
Yeah, not yet anyway.
I mean, that's not just chance supposing that. It literally said that on the page.
Yes, yes. He only speaks in 90s theme songs. And it's a fun team. Their strength exosuit boss, the samurai... the main one is like a samurai telepath girl who thinks we need to understand the kaiju better, and everyone else thinks that's stupid. We need to find a way to kill them.
We need to understand them.
And the main kid is a kid who is immune to Godzilla's atomic breath for some reason.
I imagine that would come in handy. Probably not immune to being stomped on by Godzilla.
Well, he gets hit by his tail and he survives it, so... Okay.
Well, better than I could do.
And they're part of this team. They're called G-Mutants. And they're going to... Their job is to avert kaiju disasters and kill... And find a way to kill kaiju, which I guess no one's ever killed a kaiju.
Dethrone and, you know, attack and dethrone Godzilla.
But it's good. It seems a little generic, maybe, is the word I'm looking for. If we get more issues in and we can kind of, like, spend more time with each of the individual people so I care about them... Right now, it's kind of like, okay, like, they want to kill the kaiju, and they're not willing to think about other things, but she's going to be right, like, they're part of the natural order or something, and if they work with the kaiju, they're going to be able to do more good than bad. So it's kind of like, I can already kind of see where it's going to go. So I'm going to give it a few more issues. There's also this, like, weird, like, smart kaiju at the end.
Smart kaiju.
I don't know what his deal is.
Smart Jew.
So yeah, it was okay. It was aggressively okay.
Alright. My last book, which probably also could have been my best, but I feel like it's been my best a lot, which was my main thing. Like, when I read it, I was like, this is great. Mm-hmm. More, please. And every month, they give me more. And that's Absolute Wonder Woman number 10.
The best absolute book.
Right? The best absolute book, IMO.
Okay.
I haven't read... Martian, like, Manhunter at all.
I'm like, you keep loving this one.
I do. I keep loving it. I just love the character of Diana. Like, as a child, as she's, like, learning who she is and kind of growing into that. But just, like, her heart and her attitude and the way that she cares for people. It's just, it's wonderful. She fights off a god, I think. This scary jaguar with blood face to save a turtle. She, like, saves the turtle and, like, fights the god off, and then Cersei comes out and she's like, you should be proud, mama, I did good, this is Nico. And, like, holds the turtle and she's like, I'm proud of you. But just, like, you know, she's a character hero who, like, values life. Mm-hmm. Saves lives, cares. Mm-hmm. About those things. And again, I feel like there's another reference to, like, another absolute universe thing where I'm like, oh, I know what they're referencing, what they're talking about, which was nice. They're kind of coming together. I think we're going to get a crossover of Absolute Wonder Woman and Absolute Batman in, like, November.
I've always December. Been a Batman Wonder Woman together kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Because of the Justice League cartoon.
Because of the Justice League. And I think it just kind of makes sense. where Wonder Woman and Superman are a little too similar.
Yeah. They need that.
Yeah.
Counterbalance. But it's just continues to be really good. This is by, I forgot to say, by Kelly Thompson and Hayden Sherman.
Kelly Thompson.
Killing it.
Hayden Sherman. Yeah, Absolute Wonder Woman seems like if I was going to pick up an Absolute, other than Green Lantern, that would probably be the one.
It's real good. I feel like you basically know the whole plot because I talk about it constantly.
I do. I do know the whole plot. But I don't know how big the swords get.
Big.
There's some big swords. I know there's some big swords.
No, you don't get it. Big.
As big as you're thinking?
Trigger. That,
and then double it again.
And still not big enough.
But that is all of our books. If you out there read any books this week or want to give your thoughts on any of these books, feel free to. We'd love to have a conversation with you.
We would.
You can find us at hotcomicpulls@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Or you can reach out at bluesky@comicspalooza.bsky.social.
Yeah.
Like our friend and friend of the show, Hi-Fi Mike did.
Ooh.
Which he didn't say a lot. Just said... Let me see what he said. Stopped at the comic store and took Chance's advice. I'm pumped for Ghost Pepper. Added it to my pull list.
Oh, great.
And Gargoyles. And a Batman book. Looks like the mainline Batman.
I am going to start the mainline Batman book when it reboots here next month.
What is this reboot that it's doing?
It's getting a whole new creative team, getting a whole new direction. They're going back to the blue suit.
Ooh, blue suit.
And I forgot who's taking it over. Someone is.
I'm about to look.
Yeah, you're about to look.
Matt Fraction.
Yeah, Matt.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, yeah. Because he did the best...
George Jimenez.
He did the best...
Hawkeye.
I was like,
Arrow Man.
I was mimicking arrow shooting.
Yeah, I was with him. You couldn't see. I was with him.
But yeah, so...
I bet that'd be great. Maybe I'm going to read it too.
Matt Fraction on a blue suit Batman book. It's just, yes.
I've got some things ending, so...
I would like
maybe to. Maybe that's not the Batman that he got. That's not what the logo looked like.
Well, I don't believe this one is out yet.
There's just a lot of... but... The current Batman
Mike, tell us what your Batman book.
Please, that's what we need to do.
We also have an email, since we're...
Oh, good.
...going about this.
Yes. Which is fine, I think, because I had planned for our B segment... But I'm not connected to the internet.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to go through the hassle to pull up all my stuff.
Well, and I have a B segment as well.
Well, we'll just do yours.
Yeah, we'll do these two messages and then...
We'll just do your B segment and save mine for next week.
Yes, that will work perfectly.
And that'll give me time to think of more RPG categories. Here's a little teaser for you. An RPG category called, like, Maidcore RPG. Where it just has a maid in it. Because there's a strong section of Japanese role-playing games that has, like, a super maid.
Yeah, they love super maids and butlers. That's true.
So, Trails of Cold Steel? Yes. Trails Through Daybreak? Yes. Trails from Zero? No. Not in part of it.
No, there aren't any super maids in that.
Fire Emblem Fates?
Fire Emblem Fates.
Yes.
That's the one I was going to say.
Super Maid. Also Super Butler. That's just a teaser.
Is that also the premise of the anime Black Butler?
I don't know. I'm not seeing that one.
I'm not either. But I bet it
is. You're in your anime phase.
Yeah,
you're the anime sicko.
So. I can't watch all the animes.
Not with that attitude.
I think D-Gray Man is my next one. It looks really cool. You have no idea what that is.
No.
Yes, D-Gray Man. If you've seen it out there and you love it, let me know. I'm also watching Dr. Stone. I'll do that one more thing on that one of these days. It's interesting. Okay. Back to Majin Silva. Let me pull up your email. So sorry. Oh, Majin Silva's mom was visiting from Texas. We hope your mom had a great visit. We are doing well. I mean, as well as can be expected. Before I get to the questions, you know I need to include some wrestling talk, but things in the AEW are going really well. We finally have gotten to see the most beautiful title in active wrestling today again. Thanks, Hangman, for taking the title off Director John.
Man, I hate Director John. Yeah. So, about time.
But his question is mostly about Pokemon.
You've come to the right place.
Yes. I have had a little bit more time to think about this question than you have, Cameron. So maybe I'll go first while you think. You've also asked the right question. That's good. If you could be a gym leader, what type would you use, and what would your gym challenge be? Bonus, if you list your team.
Of course I'm going to list my team.
Yeah, of course. You can't not. Majin Silva, and all of you out there in Podcastville, we're avid Pokemon players, and I am a very regular player of a challenge run I invented. It's just a monotype run, but I've got a few extra rules in it, called a gym leader run. The main feature of a gym leader run is that all of your Pokemon on your team must share one type. Or eventually share one type. Like, you could do a flying type run and start with Charmander if you wanted. That can be allowed. So I love monotype teams. It's my favorite way to play the games.
Just makes it more of a puzzle.
Yeah, it does. It makes it more of a puzzle. There's some things you're going to stomp and some things that are going to try to stomp you.
I'm doing a normal run on Violet. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of things you can stomp.
Yeah, but not a lot of things that can stomp you.
True. Fighting.
Fighting is tough. I did a normal type run in Shield, and that decision was actually made for me when I caught a shiny Squovent. Mm-hmm. So my pink Greedent and I went to become champions of Galar together.
As you should.
Also why I love Greedent more than the average person. But
and Pokemon Unite.
Yes. I also love to play him in Pokemon Unite. So this is a thing I think about a lot. Just if you want to do your own gym leader run at home, here are the rules. You have to play in set mode. Scarlet and Violet don't let you change to set mode, so you just, when it gives you the option to change in the middle of a battle, when you've knocked out a Pokemon, you have to say no.
Cannot do it.
All your Pokemon must share a type, obviously. Just like the classic gym leader kind of thing, you can use one healing item on a Pokemon that is less than 50% HP. You have one badge. And if you ever lose a battle, you lose your badge. And then if you lose a battle without your badge, you've lost the game. So you have to go back and beat the person who beat you to get your badge back.
Gotta get your badge back.
So it's not an insta-loss like a Nuzlocke is. Because, you know, sometimes RNG just isn't on your side. You have one badge. If you lose it and you lose while you don't have a badge, you're done. But if you go get your badge back, you can lose it. Lose it again. Anyway. But those are the rules of my gym leader run. So I am very familiar with monotype teams, and I already know my answer. Do you want me to go?
Go ahead. I know my answer, too.
Okay. Mine would be a poison-type gym. I think poison is a great way to test people. And now, when people talk about their gym leader teams, especially on TikTok, they always go with, like, well, I'm going to be a fire type, and I'm going to have Charizard and Arcanine. And I'm like, that's not what gym leaders do. Like, gym leaders have, like, so I'm going to give you kind of, like, my gym leader ultimate team and my, like, fourth gym in team. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
My fourth gym in team would be something to the nature of...
You're talking four Pokemon, or do you have three Pokemon?
Three. Yeah. I think three is a good number with some wiggle room. I really like... I think Gen 9 was great for poison. But I also... So I think starting with Glamora would be really great. With its Toxic Spikes ability. I think that would be a fun challenge for a gym. The more you hit my first Pokemon, the spikes scatter. And then things that can take really good use of Venoshock, I think, would be my next thing. And that would kind of be my gym strategy is to... That we would have other ways to poison you, but like...
We have ways of making you poison.
Yes. But I would need probably a Salandit, because I think a Salazzle would be a little too powerful
for a third. Mid-gen.
Yeah, but definitely a Salandit to be able to poison steel types. And then something like... It's hard to choose, but I think... See, even now I'm questioning myself. But something like a... an Alolan Muk or a Muk, something in that nature would be my ace with Venoshock to really pay back or drive home the pain. and that would be my like mid gen team.
Nice. I'm gonna say my mid gen team.
Yeah, please.
I would be a dark type trainer.
Oh.
There's
only one dark type gym in the whole series, so.
So I would be the second.
Yeah.
Because I did a dark type run of Y. I think it was Y. And I just really enjoyed it. And it made me love some Pokemon. So in addition to being a dark type, I would have a secondary theme of dogs.
Oh, I love that.
I don't know if all these Pokemon are specifically dogs, but this is the way I would do it. I would start with the Houndour. Because again, we're early.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go in with Houndoom. You're still early, but
yeah, I probably had too many.
I don't necessarily have like a strategy of like, and these are the moves that I would use. But it'd be Houndour, and then a Crocodile. Is that the mid one?
Or Crocorock,
and then finally Umbreon.
Ooh, an Umbreon ace.
Because Umbreon. It's one of my favorites
mm-hmm.
of all time. My final team would be different than that.
Yeah.
But that would be my mid team.
I think my team would probably, my ultimate team, and I would have to kind of play with it just a little bit, like my, if I were to take on the world champion team or whatever. You gotta have Nidoking in there.
Is it still? Is it four?
No, I'm gonna do six.
Okay.
I'm not gonna go super in depth, but I think I would still start with a Glamora. I think he's like the best lead of poison types. But then you gotta have a Nidoking in there too. Nidoking's a great mixed attacker, so I think having him in there would be great to take care of like steel types that you just can't do anything. You gotta have Salazzle. I think Salazzle is very important in this whole thing. No, I'm still doing the legendaries. I guess I should.
What about pseudo legendaries?
Oh, sure. You can do any pseudo legendary you want.
Okay.
There's
but no... it'd be like, I've got Yeltiel. That just feels like cheating.
Yeah. Where was I? Salazzle? Nidoking, Salazzle.
Glamora, you started with.
Glamora. I need a really swift physical attacker, so my second favorite Pokemon of all time, Crobat, is perfect for that. I do love poison. Crobat will always be one of my best boys. Throw it out to you, Crobat. Sorry, I was just waxing poetic about Crobat.
That's what you gotta do.
Mm-hmm. I think for the psychics, you need a dark type, so an Alolan Muk. really takes it out. I've always loved that psychic or like the mind one is good against poison, because it's like, if we just think, we can all get rid of pollution.
But not if there's darkness.
But not if there's darkness. And then my like ace, I guess. It's hard because there's a few that I would want it to be, but I think probably Scolipede would be my like.
I love Scolipede.
I do too. And there's a part of me that wants to say that Salazzle would be my ace. That Scolipede, I'd more use him for speed boost and baton passing. But that's getting a little too in the weeds.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about any of those things.
I have tried to play competitive Pokemon in several seasons, so...
Yeah. I'm not. Here's the fun thing with the Pokemon... New Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the fighting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, these things are more possible.
It's true. Pokemon Champions.
That's what it's called. I couldn't remember.
I'm super excited about Pokemon Champions. I have some reservations still. There's a few things in the new trailer that got me really excited, and a few things that made me take a few steps back.
What can you do?
Yeah. Well, I just need them to announce it.
Yeah. So my ultimate dark type team, I think, you know, I've had Houndour, but I would evolve him to be Houndoom. Because Houndoom's freaking awesome.
It's freaking awesome.
I don't think, we're probably not doing Mega Evolutions, but Mega Houndoom's pretty cool. And this is mostly my whole idea behind it. It's just like, what's cool?
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm still sticking with just dogs, but...
You almost could.
I really almost could. Did I say Absol?
You didn't.
Absol would be in there also, because I love Absol.
Another great Mega.
Yeah. What did I say for my... Oh, I didn't have a dog theme because I said Houndour, Umbreon, Crocodile.
Yeah.
He wasn't a dog. I was thinking Absol in my mind, and then I switched at the end because I was like, having another typing would be nice. But still those two. Mm. And probably Crocodile. Mm. I like Crocodile.
He's a good goodie.
Tyranitar. Everybody loves Tyranitar. That's four.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's
five, right?
I think Absol, Crocodile,
Houndoom, and Umbreon.
I haven't said Umbreon yet.
Oh.
Absol, Crocodile, Houndoom. That's all I've said.
Okay.
Tyranitar. Then is Miss Magius dark type or is it just ghost?
Yeah, the only two ghost dark types are Sableye and Spiritomb.
Mm, rats. What are my psychic dark?
Just Malamar, I think.
Is that the upside down one?
Mm-hmm.
Just don't love that one.
I love Malamar, but that's besides the point. I used one on my dark type.
Me too, because I'm like fighting. Mm-hmm. I gotta have a little bit of protection from that, and that's like the main one. But I don't. I'll risk it. I think I would want Drapion. That's the big accordion scorpion.
You're right, it is.
Big accordion scorpion, Drapion, and then shiny Umbreon.
Shiny Umbreon. It is one of the best shinies.
I love it. The blue.
Mm-hmm.
My sister does, like, crocheting things, and she made me a shiny Umbreon for Christmas.
She's a good sister.
She is.
And then, yes. Those are our teams. Tell us yours, Majin Silva, please. My phone is dying, so I cannot read the rest of your message. It is literally shutting down in my hand.
So sorry.
But I know that you asked about Legends ZA. I'm guessing if we're excited about it or if we're planning on getting it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I am hesitant about ZA. It kind of feels a little to me like a Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl thing, where they're just not doing very much. And I don't care about Mega Evolutions enough to be like, the only thing I need is Megas to be excited about this.
Yeah.
Mega
Dragonite.
Dragonite, though. The people who are hating on Mega Dragonite are wrong.
Stupid. I think the reason that I'm hesitant, and it's funny because since we talked about Arceus,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I got it back from I lent my copy to a friend and I got it back from him. So I played a little bit of it like a week ago. I beat through like the first like there's no done like gyms or anything, but like the first like boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the
Cleavor.
Oh, the Cleavor. Arcanine's like the third.
I played through that. I don't think I've ever made it that far. But it's just like kind of boring, I think. Just like the way the world is, there's not like trainers to battle.
Not a lot of
battling feels like secondary. Like, it felt bad, I think, to mostly defeat the boss by throwing things at him.
Okay.
It just didn't feel like what Pokemon should feel like. And it doesn't look like Legends EA is that same thing.
No.
But it just makes me not trust it.
Yeah. I actually have a different take than you. I do think that Legends Arceus is different. But as long as it's a way that's like unique to itself, I didn't need the battles. I think Legends Arceus did a great job of pointing out why the battles the way they are so brilliant, because it makes you feel really bonded to the team that you're using. And without doing that as much in the new games, it does like kind of hurt that bond. But I think the involved like ninja catching mechanics are a lot of fun.
They can be fun, but it's just like, I've got to go catch another Starly.
Maybe if you got a little further than that, because it does, like, using the bombs, using the different, like, the heavy ball that, like, falls, like, right here, mm-hmm. but it's got a great capture rate, and the feather ball that goes really far, and, like, it feels almost, like, kind of Monster Hunter-y in that, like...
You gotta be prepared.
You're assembling your team based on what you think you might find. And I found, again, as I often do in Pokemon games, my own quest within the quest, mm-hmm. where I was just like, I have to have a team of all alpha Pokemon now, because they're giant, and that's just a lot of fun.
It is fun.
So that was kind of like how I made my own fun, was like trying to one-shot catch alpha Pokemon. So I liked Arceus probably more than you did. But ZA, just, I need to see how the battling's going to work a little bit more. I am not just like... X and Y are two of my favorite games. I don't think they're as good as Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire that came after them. But I really think X and Y did a great job of transitioning to like 3D, I guess. Mm-hmm. I know people give them a hard time, but I think they did a great job.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite. It's what brought me back mm-hmm. into Pokemon. Like, fully.
Yeah. Both of you and I both missed Gen 5 because we were in college. But, yes, I am hesitant about ZA. I've never needed my trainer to move to dodge Pokemon attacks. That doesn't feel great to me. But we'll see. We'll see. I am keeping an open mind and an open heart.
Eyes unclouded by hate.
Yes. I'm looking at it with eyes unclouded by hate. I don't intend to get it right now.
No. Because especially that time, like, I'm currently playing Trails Through Daybreak. Mm-hmm. I'll probably pick up Trails Through Daybreak 2, but on my Switch, because I can barely play PlayStation because my wife just wants to play Fortnite.
Because she's an addict.
Because she's cracked at Fortnite. Mm-hmm. That means good. That's what the kids say. She's really good at Fortnite. We say that. She played in a tournament this week with a friend. She came in 106,000th place.
But that's not very good, right?
No.
Okay.
It was hard. I watched her. But it's like that, and then like Trails in the Sky is gonna come out. There's just like other things that I'm like more excited for, especially to play on my Switch 2 than to play ZA right now.
Yeah, I think a little bit for me too is Digimon Story Time Stranger looks so stinking good.
Do you have Cyber Sleuth?
I do.
Can I borrow it?
I don't know. I don't know if I have it digitally.
I borrowed it at one point from you.
You might have. I'll look. Okay. But Time Stranger looks like...
That was an aside.
That was just an aside. We're going to trade some games. Cyber Sleuth looks like they were like, what do people want from a Digimon game? Let's give them that. Like, just like being able to ride random Digimon... in like really crazy ways. Like, there's some Digimon that just like hold you right here.
They're not precious with it.
Yeah.
Like Pokemon, it's like we have to protect our IP.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And we have to check these certain boxes. for better or worse. Like, I like the general formula of a Pokemon game.
I do,
too. It's, like, familiar, but also exciting. It's fun. It's a series feeling of adventure, going on a quest. Mm-hmm. You got your friends with you. Your friends just happen to be little animals that can only say their names. And it's fun. And yeah. But it's, like, building a team, overcoming challenges, making new best friends.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I want it to be. And so I don't need it to be, like, let's reimagine all these different ways.
Yes.
Within the main line. They can do all sorts of things. I never played it, but Pokemon Conquest seems like super cool.
You never played Conquest?
I never played Conquest.
I had it when we were sharing a dorm room.
Yeah, I didn't have a device to play it on.
Mm, okay.
And someone didn't share, apparently.
Well, I don't know what happened to that DS or that cartridge. Like, I just moved so much back then.
Life has a way.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's your long-winded answer. ZA, eh, sort of.
ZA.
Yeah, and, Final Fantasy Tactics Evoli's Chronicles, which you know I'm getting day one.
That was a good...
Yeah.
Not a bad...
That comes out the same day as Digimon Stories Time Stranger.
Oh, that's right. So Chance is going to be busy for a while.
That's gonna be a busy day for me because
that's right around my birthday. I want to say
it's September 30th. Yeah.
Yep.
7 days after your birthday.
Yeah.
So you better get them both. Yes, and then Trails in the Sky First Chapter Remake. So yes, to your question. While I'm looking at...
We think it's your question. The phone died.
Yeah, the phone died. if there's any more information, we'll put it on Blue Sky.
Yes.
But...
Did we have another email?
No.
Oh, okay, I thought you said two emails. That'd be an insane amount of emails.
That would be.
Twice as many as we've ever normally had.
Mm-hmm. But tell us what games you're looking forward to. Are you excited for ZA? All of that.
Are you excited for Trails in the Sky First Chapter? Do you know what that is? If you don't, you should.
Yeah.
Look it up.
The first chapter remake is going to be great, and Trails from Zero is so good, and you can play it on anything. Like, go play Trails from Zero.
Azure, also really good.
I haven't played Azure yet.
You need to play Azure.
Well, I have to play Zero again, and that's a big commitment.
You need to play Zero again.
I do.
You just said people need to play it.
It's so good.
Parentheses. Again, if necessary. I've thought about going back and just playing those two again.
Yeah.
Especially because I have them on my Switch, so I get to do, like, a new game plus, which would you as you finish the game, you get, like, points that you can use to, like, unlock certain things to, like, make your next playthrough. Like, keep your Sceptith or your stuff that you have, your quartz or your level, and just let you play maybe a little bit quicker.
Yeah. I can see that. But yeah, so tell us what games you're excited for. Do you love Trails from Zero? You should.
If you don't, what's wrong with you? Yeah. I'm just joking. You can like what you like, but you should like Trails from Zero.
If you want to entertain yourself, I am 100% serious. 200 hours of gameplay, and you will not regret them. And you can get it probably on sale coming this holiday season for like probably $10 a piece. Trails from Zero, Yeast 8, Lacrimosa of Donna. Two completely different games. One is an action game all about timing and parrying. One is a...
But it's not like sicko mode like Elden Ring.
No, it's not.
It's not like a Soulsborne.
It's more action-y than that.
Yeah, and it's not. It's more forgiving.
Yeah, it is. And the other one is like the deepest story, the... most lovable characters.
Mm-hmm. You should pick up Trails to Azure while you pick up Trails from Zero.
Yeah.
Because they just go right into to each other.
They do. But I'm already giving them 200 hours of gameplay.
I'm just giving them 300. And Duvali the Swift is in Azure, and she's the best character in all of Trails.
I don't even know who that is, yeah.
You don't. I mean, that's a real shame.
Because
you never even played Cold Steel 2.
It's true. I played Cold Steel 1. And Trails from Zero. And it's already my favorite video game series. Those two games, they did it.
Mm-hmm. I am enjoying Daybreak.
I'm enjoying Daybreak as well. You talking about it has made me want to jump back in. Anyway, I keep trying to move us on.
We're moving us on. Yes. Now we've set our socials. We've answered the question.
Well, but let me do my B segment quick.
Oh, I thought that was our B segment.
No, this is a very... It'll be a quick B segment. I'm going to review for us Fantastic Four First Steps.
Fantastic Four... That's not the song. That was the more you know, but I said Fantastic Four.
I loved it. I saw Fantastic Four First Steps this weekend. My wife loved it. My son was iffy on it. He doesn't like traumatic things happening to characters in movies, and something traumatic happens at the end of this one. So that kind of soured the experience for him. I left the theater with mostly positive things to say about the movie and a very meh feeling about it. I loved the world. Give me retrofuturism. I wish they had leaned a little bit more into it and had, like, floating towers in New York and, like, Jetsons, like, you know, sky platforms and stuff. So I wish they had leaned a little bit more into the retrofuturism. But I still really liked what we got. I thought the cast was great. Everyone is praising Pedro Pascal and...
Crew,
yeah. I was going to say him and the person who plays Invisible Woman as the heart of the movie, and I think they really are. But I do think that some of the best moments in the movie go to the guy who's playing Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. I think he's great in it. I think he gets one of the best moments to shine in the movie.
You know, because he... Flame on.
Yeah, I wish they'd done a little bit more with the Thing. Because I like the Thing a lot. But what we get from him is very, like, grounding, I feel like. I felt like they wanted him to be the emotional grounding.
Grounding.
Yes. the movie, it looks beautiful. I really like the way they did Galactus and Silver Surfer. Both are pretty great. The other really positive thing I had is, like, it's maybe the best portrayal of motherhood in an action movie I've ever seen. Like, motherhood isn't presented as, like, a hindrance or a thing that's going to take her out of the action or an ultimate weakness. Like, she is a mother and she is a superhero, and they work together sometimes, but they are both who she is, and she can still kind of be a badass. So I loved all those things about the movie. And if you ask me what I didn't like about the movie, I don't really know. but I was left with kind of an empty feeling. And I think mild spoilers ahead.
No.
Mild.
That's fine.
Okay. Mild. I'm not going to, like, do major plot points. But I think it comes down to, while this movie was entertaining to watch, I think it walked right up to the line of saying something interesting and always pivoted away from that line. Kind of the same way I felt about Hogwarts Legacy when I played that. It was just so kind of milquetoast that it was boring.
Isn't that what you kind of said about Captain America? Brave New World?
Sort of. But yeah, yeah, it kind of is. Like,
it's like it didn't want to say anything.
It didn't want to say anything.
And by not saying anything, it, like,
yeah,
shot itself in the foot.
Like, we enter this world, you enter the world of Fantastic Four, where everyone is obsessed with the Fantastic Four. Like, everyone loves them, they're the greatest heroes in the world. People, like, Halloween, everyone is out in their different Fantastic Four costumes, because they're, like, the number one selling costume. Like, the biggest celebrities, they even portray Sue Storm as, like, the UN, the head of the UN, and she's, like, brokering peace deals. And the show never questions that reality, that privilege. Like, at one point, the public kind of turns on the Fantastic Four, but then Sue gives the speech about motherhood, and everyone's back on her side. Like, they don't have to sit in that. They don't have to deal with it. If you remember in Superman, Lois questioning Clark's actions, well, not a huge gesture. I think it actually brought up some really interesting questions about people with superpowers and their place and what their activities should be doing in the world. Whereas this, like, went very far not to do that. To the point where not long after they pivot back to the Fantastic Four's side. The Fantastic Four come up with, like, a big plan to save the day. And just the whole world gets on board. Like, there's no questions about it. And yes, the world is, like, going to be destroyed if they don't. But, like...
That does kind of influence your decision.
But, like, no one tries to extort, like, more power out of it. No one... Like, they don't have to convince anyone who's being selfish. Like, they don't have to, like, go to a racist dictator and convince him that black people need to exist or something like that. Like, there's just none of that. The whole world is just like, yes, on them, on their plan. And I think that kind of sucks. Like...
Probably wouldn't play out that way.
Well, yeah, and it's just not interesting. Mm. Like, why are we involving the whole world in this solution if it's not going to be part of the story? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, the things...
Sounds like cheap.
Yeah. The things they're building all over the world, why don't they just, like... have a plane that drops them, because that's they basically do. I liked the movie. I was a little disappointed in it, and I think it's kind of soulless, kind of empty. And I've heard people say that about the MCU before and never really felt it myself, but this time I kind of did. So Fantastic Four, I give it like a pretty solid B minus. Like, a pretty solid B-.
How dare you?
But yeah, that is my review of Fantastic Four First Steps.
All right. Thank you.
And now, on to our favorite part of the show. Mm-hmm.
Uncles. One more thing.
One more thing. And I started, so it's you.
It's me. So, I was debating what to bring. And then I was looking in the music sphere.
Ooh.
And I discovered that King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard released a new album in June. And I hadn't listened to it because I didn't know it existed. But I did. I've listened to it multiple times now. It's called Phantom Island. And it is really quite very good. Many, many episodes ago, I talked about their album Flight B741. Which was like the first one of theirs that I listened to, that I really enjoy. It sort of has almost like a southern rock, blues rock, some like boogie rock feels in it. They were writing this album at the same time as they were writing that album. But as they were putting it together, they were like, this feels a little empty. Like, just the music feels, not even creatively, but just like it feels like something's missing from the music. And through like a series of circumstances, they got connected with the conductor of the Los Angeles Symphony Orchestra.
Ooh.
And so they have the orchestra playing along with some of the things. Not like in a Aerosmith, don't want to miss a thing kind of way, where it's just like the whole time is the orchestra playing. But it's like very thoughtful in the way that the music is coming in. And I feel like the album overall kind of has a... like a sadder feel to it. I think a lot of the songs are kind of reflecting on the notion of being a musician, touring, constantly like being gone, returning home, but then like talking about the concept of like eternal return and time, you know, time is a flat circle. But also telling the story of like a person who has gone off to space and they like miss their family. And so they're like being sad because they miss their loved ones, but then also like excited at the possibility of what they're able to do. But the music I think is really great. The second track on the album called Dead Stick is just you a really fun time.
Dead Sticks.
Want to go home and rethink your life. But it's I just think it is, because their first album that I listened to, which is the one they wrote at the same time, Flight B741, is very just like big and loud and in your face, very fun. They have like, I feel like all of their albums people talk about, I think this is their 27th album.
Oh, wow.
But they all just have
King
a different
Gizzard
feel.
And the Lizard Wizards.
Very prolific. But like they have an album that's like an apocalyptic metal album that's about like climate change. And it's just like super metal. But then they have like this album called Changes, which is more like sort of softer electronic music, and the whole entire album
they go to
is the same.
On that one?
The where?
They go to Chichen Itza in that one?
They do not. But it changes, but they, the whole album is one chord progression. Oh. Two chords. Like, just the whole thing. But it doesn't ever feel like, okay, I'm just hearing the same thing over and over again. They have just a very large body of work. And this just feels like it slots in there really nicely. It feels very different from the other things of theirs that I've listened to, while also still feeling very King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Love it.
So you should check it out. It's called Phantom Island.
Phantom Island, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards.
Mm-hmm. Just Lizard Wizard, not plural.
Oh, they're not. It's not his band?
Nope. I don't know. I don't know the name where it came from.
Oh, interesting. I listened to Chromatopia a few times, but that's not my one more thing. It's just talking about music. I've never been an Odd Future guy, but I kind of dig it. Anyway, that seems like a great one more thing.
It is. What's your one more thing?
My one more thing. My son
doesn't work my the son. Same.
Just beat his first video game by himself. He beat Pokemon Shield. And I told him that if he did everything in Pokemon Shield, shy of completing the Pokedex. But if he did
it's not even possible.
Well,
lazy game freak, am I right?
Yeah, exactly. I told him if he did it, I would buy him Pokemon Violet. And he did it. He captured Shadow Rider Calyrex, captured the legendary birds. The Galarian Legendary Birds. He did it. So I bought him Pokemon Violet. And I had to kind of teach him how to play. He's not used to open world games. Well, he is used to open world games, but not ones that, like, the open world matters. Because, like, he's used to Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had to teach him how to play. And that made me want to play. So I've gone back and I moved all my Pokemon to Pokemon Bank, and I restarted Pokemon Violet. Or Pokemon Scarlet.
He should really get a Switch 2 because it looks much better.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it
runs much better.
But I just beat the... I'm on the Fire Team Star base. So I'm a little ways in there. I beat the Electric Gym.
The Bug Gym, the Grass Gym.
And the Electric Gym, yeah. And then I've beaten the Rock Titan and the Flying Titan. But I'm having a lot of trouble with the Fire base because I'm doing a Steel-type Gym Leader run.
That makes it hard. You'll have a hard time with the Fighting one, too.
Yes, yes. I actually do not know if I can make it past Great Tusks. The Titan Great Tusks. I think that will be very challenging because both fire and, fighting and ground are murder to me. But yeah, so I'm doing a gym leader run. My team right now is Tinkatuff.
Mm, good choice.
Bronzong, or a Bronzor, but he will be a Bronzong in like two levels. Varoom.
Do you have a Gimmagool in there?
I don't. I don't have a Gimmagool because I used a Goldengo a lot in my first playthrough. So I also used a Tinkaton, but I love Tinkaton so much that I don't care.
She's the girl with the gall.
Yep, exactly. I'm using a Varoom, which I'm super excited to be using. I'm using a... He's a Ponard right now.
I do like King Gambit.
Yeah, I'm excited for him
to I think you have to King catch Gambit. Specific ones. I forget there's some gimmick to get King Gambit.
You have to beat... So in one of the forests, there is a whole bunch of Ponards around Bisharps, and those Bisharps have, like...
Specific item or something that they drop. And you have to get enough of them or something.
Yeah.
I remember doing that. I mean, it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
But...
But I am going to do that part... Only with my Bisharp, instead of beating him with other things, because
it feels right.
Yeah, exactly. And then I am using Tinkatuff, Bronzor, Varoom, Ponard, and I've got a Magneton. I've never used a Magnezone in a run through. I used Magneton a few times, but I've never used a Magnezone, so I'm excited for that. And then. A Scizor.
Oh, nice.
That I gave myself from the Hashui region. But yes. So that's my team. right now, and I'm having a lot of fun. Pokemon Scarlet is a fun game.
It really is.
It's just enjoyable.
I was playing a normal type run.
I got my world so rocked by the fire type gym that I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do. You can
do it.
I kind of am just skipping it for now, and I'm going to the Steel Titan is my new plan. You can do things in any order.
You could just over-level it.
I'm trying not to do that. I actually am already quite over-leveled.
It's pretty easy to do.
Yeah, just because I'm trying to catch everything, too. But, yeah, so I am just having a lot of fun with that. I didn't want to say anything earlier because I didn't want to give away my one more thing. But you were talking about going on an adventure, and I was like, there is nothing like going on a Pokemon adventure.
There's not.
There's no comparison. There's a reason that those side, like, monster catching games have never caught on. Even Pal World, it had its moment, but...
Mm-hmm. But the moment is gone.
There's a reason. Like, no one does it like Pokemon. Everyone thinks they know better than Pokemon. And don't get me wrong. There's things I want Pokemon to do better. I want the world detail to be better. I don't really want the Pokemon detail to be much better. I kind of like them as animated characters. I don't want to see ultra-realistic ones.
Yeah.
The Pikachu movie was fun, but...
Yeah, I don't need Jigglypuff to look like that.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Mime. Or any of them.
But, yeah, so I don't... There's just not... No one has done it as well as them, and there's a reason for it. Like, you're like, oh, people want cooler monsters. They don't. And the deepness of most Pokemon... Not all Pokemon. Some of them are just a rat. But most
literally Pokemon, a rat.
The deepness, like, of all the inspirations that come from them... So many times my kid will ask me, like, what's this Pokemon based on? And I'll be like, well, it's based on this, but also this, and kind of this, too. I just think Pokemon does a killer job. So, I am playing Pokemon Scarlet right now and really having a great time.
Nice. Happy to hear it. Well, we did it.
We did it
in person.
We did it in person.
Face to face. Same table.
We haven't done that since the start of this show.
Yeah, this is our first time.
Yeah, I can't... I don't even know if we ever did it for...
Kamen Rider? Fever. Yeah, no. I don't think so either.
By the way, everyone out there, check out the trailer for the new Kamen Rider. I do not know how to pronounce it. Zits. But it looks so cool.
It does. You should check out the trailer at the very least. And I think you'll like it.
Yep. Yep. So, I love his light.
Yeah, the cross body belt.
Yeah, the cross body belt.
Instead of the belt.
And we're going back to a bug theme. And he looks like a karate bug man.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that Gotchard had a bit of a karate bug man feel. But also Steam Train.
Yeah, a Steam Train and like...
It had other things going on, too.
Yeah. Gotchard is such a disappointment in hindsight.
Uh-huh. Did you ever finish it?
I didn't.
You don't need to.
I didn't.
I did.
People loved Gav, though. People have loved Gav. So I might have to watch it someday. The visuals didn't really do anything for me, but this new one, this new series, it's mm-hmm. looking like I may need to tune in weekly.
I still... Gotchard, man. It speaks to me. No, not Gotchard. I meant to say Geets.
Geets, yes.
Geets speaks to me. Gotchard...
The thing is, we liked Gotchard episode to episode, but like...
The overarching... By the end, when I was just watching it, I was like, really? This is what we're doing?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing? We're doing this now?
Yeah, I feel like I liked it pretty much until the final form reveal. And I love the final form. I love Rainbow Gotchard. I think it's so cool. But like... I don't feel like we ever got the story back on track at that point.
No. Like, never did. Never did. But that's another show that we don't do anymore.
It is. We always said we would still talk about Kamen Rider stuff just on
here. That's true. Just on here. And we just did. But I'm tired.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it.
That's it.
I ended us rather unceremoniously, but you can find us next week at the same turtle time and the same bat channel.